this morning. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Thank you, musicians. You can be seated just for a little bit. We're living in a very dangerous era of time. We're living in what the Apostle Paul called perilous times, which means very dangerous times. And the danger of that time that he was talking about is that men and women were going to live selfish, unholy lives and claim to be Christians. I mean, that's not exactly all the wording he used, but that's the synopsis of what he was saying, and that's why it's such a dangerous time, because then everyone has this false concept of salvation, and there's only one way of salvation, and that is the way of the cross. That is the way of dead to sin and alive to Christ. There's no other gospel under heaven whereby men are going to be saved than the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, hallelujah, happening in an individual's life. We have too many people that have just filtered into the church, and they've heard good teaching, but they've not come face to face with their cross. Amen. And there's a reason for that. There's a multitude of reasons. I want to share just the title here this morning and a few scriptures and then something from A.W. Tozer. I'm not going to keep you long. I really promise. I really do. Because there's just a few things I want to read to us here this morning. Hallelujah. Because everything thus far in this service has led right up to this point. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." The title of this message this morning is Mother's Godly Advice. Amen. When Solomon wrote Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, it was just taken for granted that this was a godly father and a godly mother. It was just presumed in his writing these were men and women that feared and served and honored God. It wasn't just your average father, your average mother in the whole wide world. It was those men and women of the children of Israel that served the living God, the one true God. So this is why we've got to understand this admonition is for the godly advice of the father and the godly advice of the mother, the law of thy mother. And I want to give you an illustration here this morning of a mother that gave some of the most precious advice to those standing by as Jesus Christ was at a wedding. In John chapter 2 and verse number 5, his mother saith unto the servants, that's Mary, that's Jesus' mother, at this wedding, and she makes this proclamation and gives this godly advice to these servants. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Godly advice from a mother that knew who Jesus was. Hallelujah. And the reason she could make that statement, it didn't start that day. It started way back yonder about 30 years ago when an angel came and visited her. Luke chapter 1 verse 37. It says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Verse 38 says, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. What is that? Well, that is Mary learning that godly advice. That is Mary's own experience with God, where she said, "Lord, not my will, thy will be done." When the angel told her that she would be with child of the Holy Ghost, and she said, "I know no man," and he said, "The Holy Ghost, that which is conceived will be of the Holy Ghost." Because with God, all things are possible. What did she do? "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will be the one. I will be that vessel. Be it unto me as you have said." Right here, Mary began her life of obedience to God. Mary began her life where she could then proclaim later on, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Why? Because she had already experienced the miraculous work of a God in the holy heavens when she said, "Yes, Lord," and she conceived the Son of God. Hallelujah. And then God's hand was upon her life and upon the birth of Jesus Christ and the preservation of the babe. And then when he was 12 years old, understanding the will of the Father, and she pondered upon these things and remembered these things and kept these things. And so here she stands, those 30 years later, and realizes it's time. It's time for Jesus Christ to be exalted. Church, it's time. It's time for Jesus Christ to be exalted in your life on a personal plane. It's time for you and I to begin to realize that our acts, our deeds, our works, they're either glorifying the Son of God or bringing shame. And if you want to see anybody saved, you better start living a life that glorifies God. But if you're not concerned about the salvation of souls, then you just go right on and live just how you're living. And when that trumpet sounds and everybody else is gone and you're still here, then you will know you made a mistake. But the Holy Ghost is here today to help us see our mistakes, to help us see our own personal lives, to help us see how we are really living. Hallelujah. You see, you and I need to take the advice of this godly mother. And whatever Jesus begins to tell us we need to do, that's what we need to do. Pretty simple, isn't it? You know, it's called the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of salvation. It's not hard to be saved. We make it hard. Because all we have to do is humble our hearts, confess our sins, and He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. But the hard part we have is confessing our sin. Do you realize that we do not have one iota of a problem confessing somebody else's sin? We don't have one problem talking about how bad somebody else is acting, how bad somebody else is doing, how lacking everybody else is. We don't have a problem confessing everybody else's sin. The problem of mankind is seeing his own sin and seeing his own need. And this is why the advice of that godly mother is, whatever Jesus says unto you, do it. If Jesus says how you're living is wrong, then change it. How do I do that? And this is what I want to share, and then I will close. This is a devotional by A.W. Tozer. The title is called Choosing God's Will. Now, the scripture is very, very explicit. I have all the scriptures here in front of me this morning, but I think you're familiar with them. The Bible talks about, as ye have yielded your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Do you understand what that word yield means? That means you chose to do wrong. As you kept choosing to do wrong, now yield your members unto righteousness. Now choose to do right. See, a lot of people don't think they can change. That's a lie. It's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Because if you want to change, you'll change. Because you have the power of choice that God has given every human being. You are a free moral agent. You have the right of choice. You have the freedom of choice. So if you want to change, guess what's going to happen? You're going to change. If you don't want to change, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to change. You see, it's all in the power of your choice. Hallelujah. Choosing God's will, A.W. Tozer. No act that is done voluntarily is an abrogation or an overriding of the freedom of man's will. See, if it's a voluntary choice, it's not God overriding that free choice. It's just man making a wise choice. If a man chooses the will of God, he is denying but exercising his right of choice. What he is doing is admitting, now listen to this. When you start choosing God, you are admitting that you are not good enough to desire the highest choice, nor are you wise enough to make that choice. And he is, for that reason, asking another, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is both wise and good, to make his choice for him. Oh, glory. God of heaven, if men and women could realize God's not breaking your will, he's helping you see that making that freedom of choice to do his will is going to break the bondage of sin in your life. Hallelujah. By allowing Jesus Christ to start making that choice for you. As for fallen man, this is the ultimate use he should make of his freedom of will. Wow. Why is there so much wickedness in the world? Because men have chosen to live that way. Women have chosen to live that way. They have chosen to go the way of darkness instead of the way of light, and that's not a strange thing. That's the way it's been from the very beginning. Adam and Eve chose darkness instead of light, and sin entered into the world. And from there on, wars and famine and all kinds of wickedness have prevailed through this world. Because, as it's said in the Gospels, men love darkness rather than light. And so we see then that man has to come to that ultimate reality that he is a free will, a free moral agent, a creature of choice. But if he continues to choose evil, then evil will consume him and destruction will come upon him. And second, death will be his lot in eternity. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. A.W. Tozer said, Tennyson saw this and wrote of Christ a little poem. Thou seemest human and divine, the highest, holiest manhood thou. Our wills are ours, we know not how. Our wills are ours to make them thine. That's your whole purpose upon being on the face of this earth, is to take that freedom of your will and place it in the hands of an almighty God so that your life can be transformed to what God created you for. Anytime you're walking in self-will, self-life, and the wickedness of this world, that is not the will of God for your life. The will of God for everybody's life is that they would be saved. But every man, every woman has to make that choice to take that freedom of choice and put it in the hands of the Savior of the world and let Jesus Christ begin to lead us and guide us into the grace and the truth of an almighty God to bring us to where we're embracing that covenant we've preached about. Hallelujah, where we have a passion for progress that we've preached about. Hallelujah, that we're ready to go forward in God instead of dragging our feet and God having to continually speak and speak and speak and speak and speak, because he won't break our will. He won't override our will. but he will move with love, mercy, and compassion to help us see the error of our choice that we are making. There is a lot of sound doctrine in these words. Our wills are ours to make them thine. The secret of saintliness is not the destruction of the will, but the submergence of it into the will of God. The true saint is one who acknowledges that he possesses from God the gift of freedom. He knows that he will never be cudgeled, which means to beat or be clubbed, into obedience, nor wheedled, which means to be flattered or deceived like a irritated child into doing the will of God. He knows that these methods are unworthy both of God and of his own soul. He knows he is free to make any choice he will, and with that knowledge he chooses forever the blessed will of an almighty God. Glory. You and I are confronted with that choice every day of our lives. So take some mother's godly advice this morning. An advice that had been experienced and learned by the hand of God and the miraculous work of God in her own life when she said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Take that freedom of your will and that freedom of your choice and begin to say yes to the will of God for your life. Praise our God. Could I have the musicians once again? Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I told you it wouldn't take long. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't take long to tell us truth. Oh my, we can go round and round and round and round the bush a lot of times and then finally get to the end and tell the truth and praise our God. So I just told it up front. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because it's the truth that sets men free. You see, any time that I'm not yielded to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the ways of God, I'm in bondage. I'm not free. Oh, I'm a free creature. I got a free choice, but because of my choices, it puts me into bondage to sin and darkness and wickedness and evil. Oh, but when I take that freedom of choice and I choose Jesus and I give my will to his, hallelujah, and allow him to lead me, guide me, direct me, shape me, mold, change me, hallelujah. It's a lifelong process. Just continually finding the will of God for our life. That's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that keeps our hearts and our minds. Why? Because we know we're right in the hand of an almighty God. And we may not understand why things go the way they do, but we know he's there and he will lead us through because we have put ourselves there. Hallelujah. And then he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you always." Glory. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And that, brothers and sisters, how our faith is built. One yes at a time. One yes at a time. We'll go from faith to faith to faith to faith. Hallelujah. And that's where we really grab a hold of what Paul said in the Old Testament said also, the just shall live by faith. What is faith? Putting my will in his hands and saying yes to whatever he tells me to do. Stand with me if you would, if you can. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. And he's coming soon. He's coming sooner than what we can really even imagine. Oh, things are building. Things are happening. Glory to God. There's an excitement in the air for the child of God who knows the word of God and knows that these things are signs. When the Bible tells us to look up, your redemption draweth nigh. He's about to come back. This world is changing. Yes, it is. The new normal is now going to become the new normal, and they're just going to keep being new normals. But one of these days, we're going to get a new normal.
Right, that's good. Thank you, Lord.
That trumpet's going to sound, and I'm going to get a new body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're going to rise in the air, and we're going to have a new normal, Brother Cisneros. A new normal that's never yet been lived. A faith that we've never yet had, and a reality that we've never yet had. But it's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Let this be a day. Oh, let this be a day to remember. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God.